This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday the 26th of November. And how are you today, Xiaoning? I hear you're a little bit coffee, shall we say?
I know, just as the mics came on, I was like, I have to cough. What do I do? Okay, I'll just let it all out. Yeah, my timing as usual is the best. The best. I'm okay. I had a little frog in my throat.
Oh, okay. I hope it's turned into a Prince Charming then.
No, they never do. You kiss them and they still stay a frog. In fact, don't kiss them at all.
Yes, no, would not advise kissing any amphibians. It's kind of another Tuesday morning. And I still kind of can't get over the fact that we are slowly rolling our way towards December. It feels like just yesterday that it was only January.
No, I'm more amazed by the fact that we're going into 2020. I think, you know, starting from next week, we should do the best of the 2010s of everything.
I just can't remember. It's all gone by in a blur.
Oh, trust me, it is. But it's happening because the New York Times came out with the best movies of this decade.
Right.
And then soon, you know, there'll be the best songs, mm-hmm. right? Or the best places to go or something like that. And I'm going to review it. I think we can even talk about our own best list of the decade.
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind for me was the best political political kind of upheavals of the 2010s, which there were quite a number of them.
Malaysia had their very big one in 2018, right?
Yes,
in May. I mean, mm-hmm. that was totally unexpected. So yeah, this decade has we've seen a lot of changes. I mean, even on the technological front, right? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing how far, I guess, technology can really come in 10 years. But the other thing that we've seen quite a lot of changes in is really in fashion trends, because we're starting to see sustainability becoming the new black, so to speak. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that in the next hour. But what else are we going to be tackling?
Well, since you mentioned black, there is Black Friday, right? Which is America's biggest shopping day. But some brands are saying don't buy anything. I mean, what's going on there?
Ooh, maybe they're trying to incept you into secretly buying things. It's kind of a reverse psychology. Ooh, that'll be interesting.
Well, Inception was one of the top movies of the decade.
All right, and if you remember, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we are going to be talking about effective boundaries because we are heading into the holiday season. So how do you set some of those in the family reunions to come? Be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Feel Like Making Love by Bad Company, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin and Xiaoning. Good company, I hope.
Of course.
Of course it is. So, but you know, when it comes to, when you talk about the fact that December is here, generally people start thinking about, okay, well, it's family reunion time, right? Because in some cases, we still have Deepavali celebrations, you have Christmas celebrations, New Year's, and then after that, Chinese New Year, because Chinese New Year is early in 2020. And, the thing about all of this is that sometimes being in such close proximity to extended members of family is not something that a lot of people really 100% enjoy. And recently, I've been seeing on social media things say, you know, people saying, oh, you know, you can set boundaries. You can don't feel obligated to go to these events if you don't have to. And coming up with really long lists of how to deal with these things. And Fast Company has another one of these. But looking at all of these, and some of the responses have been that all of this is great in a Western context. This is not necessarily applicable to an Asian family.
Yeah, I have to say it's a different kind of environment. I mean, I honestly cannot imagine saying no to my parents, full stop. So if they say, you need to turn up for this dinner, do this, cook this, I will just nod. I will just nod and say yeah, and actually honestly try to be enthusiastic about it and get into the motion.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is that we only have 24 hours a day, right? And then it's not like our daily obligations or the daily duties stop. Mm-hmm. So it's the craziness of the festivals, the season, the cooking, the parties, added to the daily chores, right?
Yeah.
The burden of coming to work. Some people, great, you've got time off. But for some of us that don't, we have to manage it all. And on top of it, mm-hmm. whatever comes at Christmas, Chinese New Year, you know, all that. So yeah, I would say it can be a very stressful time.
Yeah, so you know, looking at some of these lists that say no, you know, just tell people you don't want to come. I cannot imagine just saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, can you
particularly
say,
to family?
Yeah,
right?
Can you imagine saying that to, let's say, your grandmother who says, "Lynn, I want to do X, Y, Z." Can you say no to her?
No,
neither
no,
can I. I mean,
no, I can't.
I don't have any grandparents alive, but I cannot imagine having said that to my grandmother. No way. Or I can't even say that to my mother now.
Yeah, so it's...
I might have some bargaining. You know, like, okay, maybe we don't do it now, we'll do it later, and we won't do this, but we'll do that. But it will still happen. A form of it will happen.
But then the question then is, you know, how do you continue to set boundaries? Because as you, you know, as you said, a lot of people are still working during this holiday season. So work compounded with the kind of this enforced closeness of a large family reunion can be very stressful. And so that's what I liked about this Fast Company article, which basically tackled kind of what to me felt like slightly more achievable boundaries. It's things like, you know, you don't have to stay until, you know, until 1 in the morning, 2 a.m. You go for an hour or two, and then you say, okay, you know, I've had a long day, I'm tired, but you still came to the event.
Yes.
So I think that already counts a lot towards ticking off the participation box. You know, it sounds terrible.
You were there.
Yeah. So that's one thing. So in another one was just setting like, social media, giving yourself a social media timeout, because sometimes WhatsApps, group WhatsApps and work can actually intrude upon these kind of family reunions, and it crosses all of those boundaries and it just makes things more stressful than they need to be, I feel.
Yeah. But this article also is very interesting. It's not just about the to-dos, mm-hmm. like the actual, like turning up for dinners, but it's got even... kind of tips on conversation that you don't necessarily want to have during the festive seasons.
Yes.
Which I think all of us face, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, I'm much older. Nobody asked me when I'm going to get married. But it used to be so common, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it still is a very Asian thing. I don't know why people still ask.
Yeah. So,
and it gets you like, where do I want to, you know, you get a bit like, But it tells you like how to redirect the conversation, which is true. You don't have to answer.
It's true. You absolutely don't. And so one of the bigger picture presenters, Sumitra Selvaraj, she had a thing on Instagram where recently for Deepavali, which was basically kind of collecting her stock answers for any time somebody would ask an invasive question. And I loved those answers because they were very, you know, upfront and, you know, slightly challenging, not necessarily impolite, but just to highlight the fact that sometimes asking these questions, even though it is very common, shouldn't be acceptable because they are very intrusive, and it shouldn't be the norm to ask the first female distant relative you see, when are you getting married, when are you having children, when are you having a second child. Why do you need to know so many things, basically, is my question.
Well, I guess it's a cultural thing. But, you know, this list is useful. I think the other thing important to do is to have that must-do, can wait list. So prioritize and be
basically
a bit organized.
Absolutely. But do tell us what your coping mechanisms are for these sorts of large family reunions. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at Black Friday. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Apartment Story by The National, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, we're just 2 weeks off from the 11/11 e-commerce kind of flash sale that was happening across all of the e-commerce platforms, so Lazada, Shopee, Alibaba, and so this week is another one happening on Friday because it's Black Friday, and typically this also means that there are discounts available at a lot of retailers. But the thing is, as it turns out, some brands are now leading a Black Friday boycott. So they're calling it some of them are calling calling it Blackout Friday instead, where they either don't give discounts at all. Some of them give a portion of their proceeds to charity. Some retailers even just close their doors on Black Friday and encourage their employees to spend the day outside. And this is because there've started to be concerns about the sustainability of Black Friday, the
sheer consumerism of it all,
it's the hyper-consumerism, as it's put. And the fact that, you know, when you have mass discounts at these kinds of retailers, it encourages you to basically impulse buy.
Buy more than you really need.
Buy more than you really need, exactly.
But I find it's a bit of a contradiction, right? Because at the end of the day, all these guys are retailers. I mean, their business model is to make you buy more of their stuff so that they can make more profit. So is this all somewhat of a kind of a clever gimmick so that they look, you know, oh look, we're so good, we're environmentally friendly, we're socially conscious, but hey, okay, so you know, just one day we look good, and then after that, tomorrow you go back to the website, you go back to the brick and mortar store and buy their stuff.
I agree. I think it's a gimmick, but I think at the end of the day, it's reflective of the changing consumer trends, right? Because even though, you know, some of these brick and mortar stores, yes, they still survive, and this kind of consumerism is still very present in our society. People are starting to become more aware and more socially conscious, and they're starting to put that responsibility on the retailers themselves. So we had a discussion about this ages ago. I remember when we were talking about the fashion industry and retail and where is it going in the wake of the Forever 21
closed down,
the bankruptcy, right? Yeah. And I remember speaking to an expert who said that you know, people don't want necessarily to take the responsibility all on ourselves to be socially conscious consumers. So we want to put it on the brands themselves instead.
Yeah.
So that's why you push things at corporations to say, you know, you have to be more responsible, rather than actually taking a look at our own spending habits and saying, do we actually need that, you know, 10th pair of shoes? But it's not necessarily a bad thing for me, you know, because at the end of the day, we are still driving corporations and retailers to maybe be a little bit more conscious of the things they put out in stores.
Yeah, I mean, it can be both ways. So it's us, a look at ourselves and our, you know, I would have to say for me, sometimes the consumption, what is it driving that consumption? I mean, this article, which is from HuffPost, which highlighted all this, right?
Yeah, so I said 10th pair of shoes, and that was in reference to myself. For you, it would be the
99.
35th? Oh,
no,
wow.
No,
okay.
I'm just... But I mean, in reality, there's consumption, like HuffPost says, there's the consumption for necessity.
Mm.
Then there's the consumption for the enjoyment of life and luxury. And then there's the compulsive consumption. So, you know, really all are bad for the environment, but some, according to this article, are justifiable more than others. So yeah, maybe before you buy that thing, ask yourself, really, do you need it? And for what reason, you know? And sometimes, yes, you want a little bit of enjoyment for life and luxury, but have you gone overboard? Has it become a compulsion?
Well, tell us what you think. Do you need it? Whatever it is you have your eye on this Black Friday, you can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are coming up to the 6:30 news now, but first, here is some music. Boys Don't Cry by The Cure, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Ula by The Kooks, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Shaoning. Now, earlier we were talking about Black Friday and how some brands are going kind of out of their way to almost sabotage themselves on this Black Friday to make a statement about hyper-consumerism. And actually, this is something, kind of this trend of more socially conscious shopping and even sustainability is something that we are starting to see even in wider fashion trends, right? Because there were things like, you know, Paris and New York Fashion Weeks were happening recently, and a number of very high-profile brands were starting to kind of incorporate sort of environmentally conscious and sustainable decor in some ways and design in others.
Yeah, but then, you know, once again, this debate, are they just doing it to appear politically correct? Because, you know, face it, every of these all of these fashion brands, what's their mantra? Making as much money as possible, right? So if this is the trend, if this is what they perceive consumers want, then yeah, if I'm them, I would actually milk it also. I would say, hey, I'm very sustainable. But in the meantime, please buy your 110 t-shirt from us. I mean, of course, some of them are designer goods. So please buy your 27 handbag from us, please, you know. In the meantime, of course...
And this 27th handbag is made of...
vegan, pleather? Just to make it sound even better?
Something like that. Or it's made from, you know, recycled plastics that were collected out of the sea. Or yeah. So, I mean, it still doesn't answer this trend of consumption that we have. Because in a lot of cases, we are bombarded with, you know, advertising. We're bombarded with just the sheer amount of choice that we have. So it's very easy to fall into that trap of saying, oh, you know, the new season's out. Hey, this new line is sustainable and green and eco-friendly. So you fall into the trap of it, letting it make you feel better about your purchase. Now, of course, this is not to say that you shouldn't necessarily buy whatever it is you want if you feel you want it. But it's just, you know, don't cite, you know, environmental sustainability and eco-friendliness and all of that if you are still buying into those, you know, excessive consumption patterns.
Yeah, it does smack a little bit of hypocrisy, right? I mean, for the brands themselves. And then also,
For the consumer.
Yeah, is it really our cop-out also? You know, we use that as an excuse to then say, it's okay. It's okay to buy that item that you actually really don't need, right? It's excessive consumption. But because it's so-called environmentally friendly, you feel, okay, I'm justified, when you actually really don't need it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think both sides, you know, are clever about it, you know, and yeah, even we manipulate our own brain to feel better.
Absolutely.
So to me, at the end of the day, you really do need to just ask yourself, do you need it, aside from anything else?
Yeah, and sometimes...
Because even if it's not environmentally friendly, I'll be honest, but if you use that item forever and ever, for the next 15 years, for example, isn't it itself that being environmentally friendly, rather than buying that 12 t-shirt, you use that 1, 2, 3 t-shirts till you really, you know, there's holes in it and it lasts forever?
Yeah, so the idea there would be to just be carbon neutral, right? So even if you do have these, you know, polyester t-shirts or the things that are, you know, not traditionally environmentally friendly, and I say this air quotes, if you use that t-shirt and you mend that t-shirt and you ensure that its life extends well past the traditional,
yeah, and it's 15 years, become your pajamas,
yeah, something yeah, like that, and then after it graduates from being pajamas, it becomes your wash rag or something.
Yeah,
you know, that for me is that's what slow fashion is. It is ensuring that you get the most use out of what you already have sometimes without necessarily going out to buy more. And you are trying to minimize the impact. It's still minimizing the impact that you have on the environment, because these, you know, if you decide that you want to go completely eco-friendly, for example, and you throw out your entire wardrobe and replace it with sustainable fabrics, all of the things you just threw out will still wind up in a landfill.
Exactly. Maybe the lesson is to learn what our grandparents did, was to never throw anything away and recycle and reuse. So even like old cloth became like a blanket, you know,
yeah,
patchwork quilt.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, you know, our grandparents were very environmentally friendly.
Very.
Because, you know, I'm sure we all grew up with that drawer full of plastic bags kind of folded up into tiny little triangles.
I still do that, by the way.
So do I, actually. But do let us, do tell us what you think about this. Do you see this trend becoming more present in societies in future? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at what's been said in the papers. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Memory Boy by Deer Hunter, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, thank you very much for your message this morning. We've had a couple of of social media responses, because we've been talking about, you know, fashion and sustainability, and we've also been talking about the upcoming holiday season and what to do in response to all of those, just all of that enforced closeness. Really,
yeah, how do you cope?
How do you cope? And Ramli Sirup weighed in with just a short kind of an interaction, an example of an interaction. Not married yet. No, not divorced yet, I think, in response to that question. A shocked face. Just kidding, as I walk away. I'm not really sure which part of the equation he plays here. But
yeah, is he the one being asked or has he asked?
Or is he the one asking, you, responding with, are you not divorced yet?
Oh, mm. Hmm.
That is a good comeback, I think. And we're also taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers this morning, because looking, I have the NST in front of me, and actually it's got quite a... It's got quite a dramatic front page, because it's very dark and moody, and it's got these two gentlemen, you know, facing off.
Looking a bit angry.
Looking a little bit angry. Tensions escalate. And this is, of course, to do with the tensions between Datuk Sri Azmin Ali and Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. So that conversation continues on pages 4 and 5 of the paper.
Yes, and it's something we're going to be talking about later this morning, right?
Indeed it is.
Yeah. Okay, for me on the Malaysian Reserve, the headline is auctioning homes getting tougher in a tepid market, which is, of course, the case. Everyone knows the property market's a bit soft, so much so that auctions also aren't doing so well, because you can get apparently very good bargains in the secondary market or even on the primary market. And then there's a nice picture of our Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, in South Korea looking at a fighter jet. He looks quite happy, though.
Oh, right. Yes, I remember there were some reports over the visit to Korea yesterday as well, because he's been there over the weekend. And so the Star has gone with a front page that says not above the law, but it's got a picture of a chap flying a drone. So this is a story that says, even as drone flying reaches unprecedented levels of popularity, there are now calls to monitor the industry and to regulate them. Those calls are growing louder. So I guess because drone flying, the biggest hurdle towards, say, the wider use of drones in logistics is regulation. And how do you manage that? It's with drones, it's really that last 5 feet that can sometimes be the problem.
It's also the privacy issue, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes. I mean, I've had some of them, I don't know where they came from, fly over my house, and I got a bit of a fright, because I have a glass kind of roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what's that? You know, you see this like mini thing flying over. And I'm like, does he have a camera? Can he see into my house? You know, you have all these invasion of privacy questions, right?
Yes.
So yeah, it should be regulated. Anyway, on the Edge Financial Daily, the cover story is Petronas confirms Sarawak's lawsuit. Another story we will be following later at 7 o'clock. And Hong Kong stocks rally after pro-democracy win polls. Yeah, markets actually did better on the back of this win by the pro-democracy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you saw some of the property stocks going up, which was kind of contradicting what I thought how markets would react. But maybe, who knows?
Yeah, actually, speaking of property, though, the home ownership campaign is up at the end of the year, isn't it? Because I've been seeing quite a few more developers advertising their properties with the stamp of the home ownership campaign on them. But you really think that it's not going to resolve the whole property overhang situation by December?
No.
We've still got thousands of units unsold. So it's like, I think the word on the street is that it's likely that there will be some other kind of incentive.
I mean, RERA, right? has openly come out to say maybe extended, I think, if I'm not wrong. So yeah, it's not implausible that it will be extended into 2020. There is a mismatch at the end of the day between demand and supply, and it's hard to clear inventory.
And it's definitely hard to clear it overnight. But that is all that we have for you from the papers this morning, because we are about to head into the 7 o'clock news, and after that, the business end of the morning run, where we'll be tackling lots of fascinating stories, some of which we've just referenced from the papers themselves. But first, here is some music. I Feel Free by Cream, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.